Amen. Thank you for that beautiful song and all the songs this morning, magnified and lifted up. The name of Jesus, the name above every name. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah. We're in Isaiah chapter 40. Last Sunday morning, we began looking at that chapter. And before that, we were in a series about prayer. And I was over Sandra's home place Saturday before last, down on the rock by the creek, when the Lord said we needed this chapter. And then, as I started studying the chapter, I realized we're still in the book of prayer because we need prayer, and he teaches us in this chapter, among other chapters, how to pray, what to pray for. And when we pray, there will be answers to those prayers, and those answers will have the power of God and do for us, which nobody else can do. So let's look at this chapter again. We looked at it, kind of an overview last Sunday morning. Take a few Sundays to get through it, no doubt. And the first verse of the chapter 40, remember now, the saying of it is this: Isaiah, prophet of God, called by God to preach the word and tell Judah of their sins and let them know that God is a rewarder of those that serve him. And if we belong to him, he's also going to be a God of judgment. So God sent them to Babylon for those 70 years. And now while they're at Babylon, they're still his people. And God will not forsake his own. Yes, he brings us through the tribulations. He brings us through the judgments. But he's still God. If you're saved and you do wrong and you won't follow him and you won't adhere to his principles, he'll bring you and do for you what is necessary, but all along he lets you know that you still belong to him. And this is the wonderful thing about it. Now, the book of Isaiah was a vision, he called it, in the first chapter, a vision. God is the one, the author of the book, and he's telling Isaiah what the vision is, to interpret the vision, and he's told him ahead of time that after 70 years he's going to send him back home. And this is not just a message for about what Isaiah did and the people of Judah, but it's also a message for us today because the prophecy looks ahead of time and tells us that Christ Jesus is going to come, and he knows exactly when he's coming. He knows the condition of the world when he comes. He says it's going to be a time of darkness. And he also knows when he's coming back next time to give us. And Israel now is in bondage as chapter 40 opens. Isaiah is telling the people to have comfort. You still belong to God. He will forgive your sins. He's still a God of power. And you're a needy people. And let's look at the first two or three verses, then we'll skip over. Chapter 40, the book of Isaiah. Comfort you. Comfort you, my people, saith the Lord. What's our job today? Our job as preachers, as people of God, to speak words of comfort to his people, saying, God is a God of comfort. I can't comfort anyone. You can't comfort anyone, but we can point them to God who is a God of comfort. So this morning, we're going to look at the thought, and the title of the message is our prayer to the God of comfort. We need to be comforted. We live in an unfriendly world. None of us would even dare argue about that. And we know, if we're a student of the Word of God, that he is coming soon to get us out of this troubled land. Isaiah, through the Spirit of God, is telling his people who was in captivity in Babylon, just hold on, it won't be long until you're free to go back into your country. And by the authority of God's Word and the Word of God, he is telling us this morning, hold on, stand fast, it won't be long until he comes to get us. To get us out of this troubled world and the place of light. It's a place of darkness down here. Sin on every hand. But God, through his word, says, comfort you. Comfort ye, my people. He continues. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Well, I thought Judah was God's people. They were. But he will let them go into captivity or do whatever is necessary. And the scripture says, by the Lord's hand, he has doubled and made sure that they realize that the bondage they're in, the transgressions they have wrought before him, have been paid in full. And God is telling us today that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, our confession to him that we are sinners, that we have a need for him to forgive us our sins, he's letting us know that our sins have been forgiven. Our iniquity has been paid through Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to realize that. We have to speak words of comfort one to another, that God is a forgiven God. If we were to take a survey this morning, which we won't, but God knows your heart. He takes surveys. He speaks to your heart, and he knows every thought, every intent of the heart. He knows everything we've ever done, and he knows when we have asked forgiveness, and he knows when he has given that forgiveness. So God wants us this morning to have comfort in knowing that he's God. He's on the throne. We're his people. And we go through a land of sorrow and of all kinds of problems in this life. But God says, I have taken care of that through the blood of Calvary. Let's turn over now in this chapter and we'll look at just a few verses. Let's look at verses 26 through 31, same chapter. Lift up your eyes on high. And behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why saith thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hath thou not known? Hath thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He tells us the condition we are in. What condition are we in? We're faint and weary. And our strength is in him. The prophet told us, and the book of Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you have salvation this morning, and your sins are covered by the blood, and they will be if you'll confess your sins, he is just to forgive us our sins, then he produces in us the joy of our salvation. We can't produce anything, but we can trust him, and he will give us strength and joy in the midst of heartache. So Israel now, the opening verses says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. So God is a God of comfort. And now he is letting us know that the God of comfort is all powerful, all knowledgeable, all understanding. And we're to realize how weak we are and how frail we are and how we often fail him. And when we do, we come to him, the God of comfort. And he lets us know in these verses that he is the God that can comfort their hearts and a God that, why? Because he is a God of power. Let's look at these thoughts together. First of all, let's look at the specification. We do have specific needs, every one of us. You go through a trial, I'll go through a trial, and they may be different in nature, but at the same time, it's one that shows our weakness. And God says he allows, he permits, he orchestrates, he plans some of these things that come our way so we'll realize and know that he is our God. Who sent them into Babylon? God did. And God says, I know when I'm going to send you back home. He's letting us know afresh and anew that he is in charge of our life. It's not we that's in charge of our life. You may think you are and you may try to act like you are if you're saved, but God's out there realizing how far he's going to let you go out of his will. And he also knows how he's going to bring you back. So comfort. Now, this God of comfort comforts us. And the specifics or the specification of that is the power of God. Look very closely at these verses and look at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Who gives power? The specific we have is we are faint and we're not strong. Now, we can be strong in Him. We can't be strong of our own mind. If you're reading the Bible, the story of Samson. Remember, Samson had power. He had strength. And that strength was not in himself. He didn't go to classes and he didn't have his weightlifting program. But yet he could lift gates and move them. And he could take the jawbone of an ass and slay 1,000 people. That strength did not come from the person Samson. That strength come from the Lord. And as soon as he stopped heeding to the voice of God and started going his way, God removed that strength. And then they captured him. They plucked out his eyes. And remember that Samson, who was once strong in the Lord, was no longer strong. He was the same person, but his strength was in himself. So the specifics we have this morning is we're faint. And we're weary. And we don't have the strength we need to overcome the trials of life. Nor do we need to. We need to trust Him, for He is our strength. He is our refuge of very present help in time of trouble. And any time we go through this world, there's sorrows, there's hurts, there's sicknesses. You can name them. Most of us have experienced many of them. And those things alone and those things in combination one with another, they cause us to be faint and weary. He's pointing out, Isaiah is through God, of course, that the children of Israel are in bondage. They've been there a long time now. But this faintness, this weakness can be overcome. How come? Because there is strength in the Lord. So we've seen the specification. Let's look next at the supplier of that power. Who's going to get them to the position where they'll have enough strength to return home to the homeland? They're in bondage now. They can't go where they want to. They can't be free to move around. Remember, they're in bondage. They report to someone else. But God, in His wisdom and His power, is going to send another king who is going to give a proclamation from God, a heathen king. And He's going to say, you may go home. Not only can you go home, but I'll furnish the means. I'll furnish the finances. I'll furnish the escort. I'll furnish everything you need when you get there to rebuild the city of God. He's a God of strength. He is a God of supplies. And all they have to do is realize that they have a specific need. What is that? They're weak. They're undone within themselves. But He's calling them the way He's calling us, that He is still on the throne. And He can supply your every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How's He going to do that? Let's keep reading. He giveth the power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength, verse 29. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Some of us are a little bit older than we used to be. I guess all of us are older than we used to be. Some of us are a lot older than we used to be. And for those of us like that, we remember back. I remember back, it's been a long time ago. It doesn't seem that long. When I was about 30 or 35, I was a stronger. I never was strong. But physically, I was stronger in my early 30s than I'd ever been before. And I surely am not as strong as I was then. So the Scripture says, it's for all generations. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. You young people, you're as strong probably as you're ever going to be physically, but we're talking about mightily through Christ Jesus. See, our strength alone won't get the job done. It'll help you go ahead and work and dig ditches and build skyscrapers and build jet engines that will take you to the highest, but that strength alone will fail. The strength must come from Him. We're talking about a spiritual strength that will help us overcome trials, that will keep us out of the bondage, that will teach us how to teach our children and our children's children, that without God, you're going to fail. youth, you may be strong physically. And as older people realize that we were once strong physically compared to what we are now, but we're not talking about a physical strength. We're talking about a strength that will help us get through trials, tribulation, hurts. A strength that will endure, that will teach us that our children need the same God. The old path. Jeremiah said, return to the old path and walk therein, and there you shall find rest for your soul. We're living in a generation that's not got much to do with the old past. They think we're a bunch of old fogies. If we have the King James Bible, and if we have the songs of Zion that elevate and magnify the name of Jesus, they're looking for a feeling that's only skin deep. But God is teaching us in His Word that youth, if you're looking to the appetites of the flesh, they're going to fail. No matter what their age, the appetites of the flesh. And there's only one thing that will get us through this world into a place called heaven, out of bondage to this world and the things of the world, and that's the power of God. Specific needs, the source of our needs, and the supplier of power. And then look at the spirit of power. God, how can we have this power? How can we be overcomers? Because He is teaching us to look to Him who is God of all. Look what He says in the 31st. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. If we think in our youth that we're strong and we can make it without God, and many people do, there'll come a time when we'll utterly fall. And the best fall you'll ever have is to fall on your face before God. And admit to Him that you're unworthy, you're undone, and you're in bondage to sin and to self and to the struggles of life. But the Spirit of God can set you free. The Spirit of power, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we come to Him in forgiveness and humility and humbleness, saying, my strength won't get me to heaven. My strength won't let me overcome the problems of this world and teach my children the right thing and to be a leader in my community and have a reputation that when people think of my name, they'll know you're a man or woman of prayer. Boy, that's important. See, your reputation is really all you got. And if that's ruined, what else do you have? You say, well, I've got cars and houses and lands, bank accounts. Hey, without a reputation in this world, you'll never lead anybody to Jesus. You can't even lead your own children to Jesus if they look at you and they don't know you're a man or a woman of prayer and a man or woman of stature and the Lord Jesus Christ. What good's anything else? The Spirit of power. So the specific need and the supplier of our power and the source of our power. But look at the situation of power. He brings us into these situations. He helps us realize and know that He's God and the condition He brings us in. Even the youth shall faint, be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. Then look at the situation. Who's God going to come and help? Next verse, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord. See, God brings us to a situation, and we try to do our best, and sometimes we think we can get through a trial, a tribulation, a hurt without Him. We say, I don't think that will. We act as though we think it. He's looking at their hearts, their intents. Instead of falling on their knees and admitting who we are and how weak and frail we are, He's already told us we're frail, we're faint. Instead of looking to Him, we try to work it out ourselves. And then finally, I've talked to so many people and I've been there myself, and finally we get to the end of the road and we fall on our face and we cry out, Lord, I can't do it. And it seems as though He says, why did it take you so long to come to that conclusion? I've taught you my word. You can't do it by yourselves anyway. So if we would just fall on our face to begin with and say, Lord, guide me, supply my needs, help me hear from heaven, help me learn what it is you want me to learn in these days. Teach me thy ways, O God. Help me, Lord, to take the advantage of the situation we're in. And my grandfather taught me, so you told that 100 times, yes, and if I'm here, I'll tell you again. My grandfather taught us well, be thankful that things are as well with us as they are. We can complain and we can grumble, but God's looking at a content heart. He wants to have a heart of content. How can I be content in the situation I'm in? Paul says, I've learned to be content in every state I'm in, every different situation. And God brings us to those situations, to those times of trouble. And the reason he does is to let us know what we should have known to start with, that we're faint, we're weary, we're helpless. And finally, when we can't do it, and we know we can't, we fall on our face before Almighty God and say, Lord, here I am, unclean, undone, and I need your help. And he's teaching us that I'm the God and supplier of that power. I can do all things, Paul says, through Christ, which strengtheth me. Paul learned a long time ago when he first saw Jesus. Remember, he was on the road. And he's on the wrong road, headed to do despite God's grace. On the right road, going the wrong direction. But the light of God came and Jesus spoke to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he fell. And his eyes were blinded that he could not see for a period of time to let him know and realize that without me, Christ says, you're nothing. You'll never amount to nothing. Oh, but he had a lot of followers. He had a great reputation with the Sadducees and Pharisees and the church of Jerusalem, the religious crowd. But he was going the wrong way. But Christ Jesus came and let him be blinded for a matter of time. And that's what God has to do to you and I sometimes, to bring us to ourselves to realize we need you. He is a strength. He is a source of strength. And we can have that situation of prayer in our life. And we can have the situations, but it can be turned into a situation of power. Because the next verse teaches us, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Who's going to have support from God? Those that wait. You can't do it by yourself. You can't think your way through it. You can't get anyone to help you when you come to that situation in life, whether it's sickness, distress, heartache, brokenness, about your children, your grandchildren, your parents, other people, whatever the situation is. He brings us to himself to realize I'm the supplier of all power. I'm the God of all power. And when you present your situation to me and are willing to die to yourself, then I will be able to help you and give you strength. There is support from heaven through that prayer life that gives us the power of God. Look at the last part of that verse. Who's going to receive that? Those that wait. The race is not to the swift nor to the strong, the Bible says, but the race is those that are patiently waiting on him. Don't try to do it yourself. You're going to fail. And sometimes we have to get to the place of failure before we realize we can't do it by ourselves. But Isaiah, through the power of God, is teaching them in Israel, I'm going to take you back home pretty soon, but you won't be going by yourself. I'll be the one to free you. I'll be the one to give you all the supplies going back. And when you get there, it's going to be a wasted city. It's going to be destroyed in this construction and destruction. But don't you worry. I'll be the God of construction to help you overcome the destruction. And that's what God's telling us in their life. Within themselves, we haven't, I don't know about you, but I haven't succeeded and done nearly what I should have done. I failed him. Why? It's not been his fault. It's been mine. Because many times I'm one to want to do it by myself. And he lets me know, you can't do it by yourself. I'm the supplier of your needs. You're faint, you're weary, you're helpless without me. But I am the God of comfort. I'll bring you to the situation to realize that you need my power in your life. The conditions that you'll go through, you'll know that it's only me that can get you through it. Now let's look at this support from the power or the evidence. How do we know that it's been God that helped us? Look at the last part of that verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What's going to happen then? They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Wait a minute, I still got troubles. I still got heartaches. I'm not strong. I'm not healthy as I used to be. But he's talking about a spiritual strength. But in the midst of adversities, you and I both have seen people who maybe have in their later life laying on their bed and not been able to even walk, but they had a prayer life. They had strength in Christ Jesus. Dr. Percy Ray was laying there for several months in the coma, and most of the people thought he didn't know anything. But there was some people that went in, Brother Earl Farley go in and tell him about the church, and he was still a pastor of church, and he was laying there in that coma and saying, now this is happening, this happened, do you want me to do this? And Brother Dr. Percy Ray would grunt, yes or no. And see, he is still relying on God and no doubt praying to God in his helpless condition. Helpless physically, but not helpless spiritually. And no matter your situation, we can't do as we used to do. We can't run as fast as we used to run. And young people, there'll be a time when you'll be like that too. But God will let us know that I'll be there for you. I'll strengthen you. Who's it going to strengthen? Last verse one more time. But they that wait upon the Lord, come to the end of your road, get to the place in your life that says, I cannot do it without you. I don't know why it's so hard. It's probably pride. It's probably arrogance. Whatever it is in their lives that keeps us from that. Go back and check your own life out and see, have you ever come to the place? I'm talking about saved people now. Or even lost people that realize that you can't do it. And finally get situations become so heavy. You can't carry the load anymore. And Jesus told us all ahead of time, bring your troubles and your burdens to me. I care for you. And that's what he's been waiting on all along, us to come to the place. Who's he going to give strength to? Those that wait on him. But I want you to do it now. He'll do it in his good time, and his time often, most time, is not your time. It's his time. His time is perfect. And his timing is such that he brought you to the house of God this morning, and through his word and through his voice gave the message, not my message, God's message, through his word to you and to me to help you realize every one of us got problems and heartaches, disappointments and all the above, and we're weak and we're faint and we're weary. Admit it. Tell him about it. And say, I'm waiting on you. I've come to the end of myself. And I can't do it anymore. And look what happens if you'll do that. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Have you ever watched an eagle soar? We were up in Alaska, up at Denali Park one time, and we were really up there, and we were above the eagle's nest. They let us out, and there was a golden eagle's nest down below us on the ledge. We didn't get to see it fly, but I've seen other eagles fly, and they fly it's amazing. They just soar. And God wants you and I to get to the place to fall on their face, no matter what you're going through. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm weak. I'm faint. I'm weary. Looking ahead at all the things out there that I don't know, and I need help. And he said, if you wait on him and trust him, he'll pick you up and let you soar as eagles. Will the troubles be there? They might be, but you'll be above them, and they won't be so important to you anymore because he has a way of getting you above those troubles just to lift you up. It's what he promised to do. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Maybe the problems still persist, but you'll walk through them with the strength of the Lord, and you won't be weary anymore. Why? Because the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? The specific need, the supplier of power. And the one that we come to this morning to realize our helplessness and the strength that can be in Him for those that will wait upon Him. Would you please come this morning, please, and play whatever God puts on your heart on the piano and organ. We're waiting on the Lord this morning. He's waiting on you. Are you going to come and fall before Him and admit to Him your helplessness and just tell Him that you need Him and tell Him how thankful you are that you can trust Him and put all your faith and strength in Him? Whatever your needs are this morning, if you've never come to the point of salvation, you can't make it without Him. There's no way you can get to heaven without Him. In fact, I don't know how you're going to get through this old wicked world without Him. But He's available to all those that wait upon Him. Some are coming, others need to come. What will others think if I come? Doesn't matter. It's what He thinks. Would you come? How am I going to come? Just as you are, the songwriter said. Just as I am. Admit to Him that you're weak and weary and you need His help. And then you're going to wait on Him and He's going to exalt you in His due time. And you won't be faint anymore. You won't look at things the way you're looking at them now. You'll look at the God of your strength and comfort. Decisions to be made in your life that you can't make on your own. Best you could do is 50-50. Should I do that or that? Guess what? The 50 you choose is probably not God's way. But He has a way for you, and it's a perfect way. Who's He going to show that to? Those that wait upon Him. Wait upon the Lord, and He shall increase your strength. Thank you. You may not have come to the altar this morning. Maybe the Lord didn't tell you to, but you can pray where you are. You can pray on the way back home and at home. And there are problems in this world, and there'll be increase in this world. You have troubles and tribulation. It follows all men. But God can get us through it, lift us up above it. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Miss Denise has an announcement for us, and while she's coming, revival at Stony Mountain this week, Stony Mountain Baptist Church. Darren Walter Parsons is going to be preaching there. If you have an opportunity to go, I know they would welcome you there. So we appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be here this morning, Ms. Denise.
Just want to remind everybody that's volunteered to work in Bible school this year. We'll be meeting in just a minute over here in these pews, if you can stay for just a minute. Also, just want to remind all the parents, if you haven't registered your children yet, it's very helpful to us if you'll do that ahead of time. So at the table in the lobby, if you could take care of that today or in the next couple of Sundays. And then for the church as a whole, we'd just like to ask if you would please be in prayer for Bible school. We have just a few weeks left to prepare, so if you'd pray for the committee, and then also please pray for all of the children and the families that will be represented. We already have a little over 70 children registered. We usually expect maybe double that. So if you'll just please be in prayer for all that for us.
Thank you, Ms. Denise. Just remember the Bible school and those directors, those helpers. The children are wonderful, but they need helpers, and you have so graciously volunteered, many of you. And if you haven't, and the Lord's gigging your heart, we could use your brother gun. Come dismiss us, if you will. And again, all the visitors, thank God for you. We appreciate God sending you here. And if you need anything, the ushers.